With me to the book of Ephesians as we look at our scripture message today. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to look at that in just a moment. As we begin looking through the book of Ephesians over the next few weeks, and as we think about what God wants to say to us, it is perfect time, a perfect Sunday, to really begin to tune in our hearts to the Lord, to tune in to what He has for us, to really, as we even approach the Christmas season, as we think about that, by the way, 90 days from today. So, so 90 days from today is Christmas, and as we approach that time, it takes preparation, doesn't it? In fact, whenever we do anything, it takes some preparation, and whenever we do anything, there's something about somebody that does it with all their heart compared to somebody who doesn't, isn't there? Like when we say about somebody that they not only did it, but they did it with their whole heart. What does that mean? It means, man, they were into it. They didn't just know what they were doing. They felt what they were doing. It was something that came from the inside out. It was not something that they just were mimicking or something that was just a part. It was something that came from the inside. They did it with all their heart. Boy, they played their heart out. Or wow, you could tell his heart was really in it. Conversely, we also know that the opposite is true. Your heart wasn't really in it. Kind of like, you know, when you're taking the garbage out to the street at 1 o'clock in the morning, your just heart's not in it, you know? Or, you know, when you have to get up to go to work, you know, your heart's not in it until who knows what time in the morning. After that second cup of coffee, then maybe your heart gets in it. But we know that there's something about, we use that language, and so did the first century Christians, that when it came to their faith in Christ, when it came to living out the faith that they had in Jesus, there were those who were doing things and going to church and doing it, and then there were some that were going to church with all their heart. Man, people go, man, he loves that Jesus with all his heart, his soul, and his mind. Huge difference. Just like any other task in life, when it comes to our faith in Jesus Christ, there is a difference between those who know it in their head and those who know it in their heart. And you know what? Many of us go back and forth at times. We know it, and we know Jesus and our salvation is not in doubt. But you know, you just don't feel it. You know, I'm just not feeling it today. You know what I'm talking about? So how do we tune in? How do we put feet to our faith? How do we get it all over us and just spread it all over everywhere and just get sloppy with our faith so that wherever we go, whatever we do, people go, man, I don't know about that guy's faith. I may not know that Jesus, but that guy, he's in it, full force, both feet in, total his heart is in it. That's the letter to Ephesians does. Because it's how do we get our faith, put feet to our faith? How do we get it out in the streets? How do we get it, our faith working at our work and in our jobs? How does our faith make a difference whether we're in the church or whether we're in the church parking lot or whether we're in the Safeway or a local restaurant? How do we get our faith even into our homes? Because, friends, there are people who have faith in Jesus Christ and their homes are a wreck. There's people who have faith in Jesus Christ, and it's just that their lives are falling apart around them. But you know what? Jesus promises us that if we put feet to our faith, if we start living our faith with our whole hearts, that whatever our circumstances, he doesn't promise that the circumstances are going to change, but he promises that we will change the way we look at our circumstances. And it makes all the difference. Do you want peace today? Do you want joy today? I'm not talking about do you want to know about it. You came here expecting that. The guy's going to read out of the Bible. We're going to sing songs about Jesus. Okay. Check, check, check. Now I can have lunch. All right? I'm talking about do you want to know peace today? The promise of the Scripture Let me just give you a bottom line. It's today you can have peace. Today you can know the truth. Today you can know Jesus. And today you can have, you can get and tune your heart in and with everything in your being, connect with Him. It may not change your circumstances, but it'll sure change the way you see your circumstances. Who doesn't want that? People in Ephesus wanted it. And Paul wrote him a letter. He wrote him a letter. It's called Ephesians. It's right here in the book for us. It was a big metropolitan city. It had just tons and tons. It wasn't a Jewish city. It was a Greek city. And so Paul was writing to people like you and me, not necessarily people steeped in Jewish tradition, but people who just wanted to have practical faith. How do I make this work? How does this work in the streets? How does it work in the marketplace? How does it work in my home? And so in the letter to the Ephesians, Paul addresses some specific issues that you don't see other places in the Bible, where he says, this is how husbands and wives ought to love each other. This is how parents and kids ought to love each other. This is how you ought to act and look and breathe and look in at your work and at your school. This is how it looks in the marketplace. And in chapter 1, he starts out by giving us kind of an intro and saying, this is how it looks if you're in it with your whole heart. So that people look and they go, man, he or she, they really put their heart into it. And that's where we're going in this letter. And so we're going to look at it, and I want to read, we're going to take an opportunity to read, just kind of see Paul's train of thought as he writes this to the Ephesians. So I'm going to read chapter 1. All right, so that's easy enough, isn't it? If you don't have a Bible, you need to get one, because we're going to read it, and I want you to make sure you... No, I'm following along with what's in the Bible. All right? There's one in the pew rack in front of you if you don't have one, or open your own, or scooch up to somebody who has one. Look at it and follow along with me. If you're really way far away from a Bible, just look up here. All right? And we're gonna read this. I want you to track with me. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked with Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that God, the God of our Father, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Open the eyes of... This is where he starts singing. in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, is it possible today that this word to the Ephesians could get us excited about you? God, could we fall in love with you all over again? Could we be a people who are in it with our whole hearts? Lord, you said the greatest commandment is pretty simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. God, today, could we fall in love with you all over again? In Jesus' name, amen. If you have that blue sheet out in front of you, that's something you can follow along and kind of track with me as we're talking about this passage. Is this incredible? I mean, really, there's not a whole lot more I can say. I'm going to just point out a few things, a few highlights for you to look at as you go home and you read this again and again, because this is like chocolate. It's like dessert first. I'm telling you, if you read this passage, if you read this every day as you begin your day, you can't help but sense the presence of the Almighty God and his love for you by reading Ephesians chapter 1 at the beginning of the day. It's like vitamins. It's healthy. It'll make you feel good. Why? Because it gives us some simple truths. And I want to zero in for you here today as we look at it, because that's how we fall in love. Now, in Revelation chapter 2, it talks about the Ephesian church, Ephesus church. And it says, you know, the people in Ephesus, when he's talking to them in Revelation, the Apostle John, he says, you guys are always all about doing all the right things. Everybody does great. You do church great. But he says, this is what I have against you. And this is what Jesus says through the Apostle John. He says, you've lost your first love. The honeymoon's over. How many of you feel like that sometimes with your faith in Jesus? You know, boy, you remember when you were really excited about it, but now kind of honeymoon's over. You know, you still got to write the checks. You still got to get up and go to work in the morning. You still get the sass. You still have the same boss. Today, Paul writes this letter to that kind of a church, to the people who are feeling a little bit kicked around, a little bit tired. Says you need to get back into it with your heart. So he gives them these things. Now, do you love this? I mean, Paul says, "Hey, let me give you guys some great encouragement." And he gives them some encouragement and talks about these gifts that God gives us, and it's from such a gracious God. The language that he uses about how God gives us things. And did you hear that one verb? It says he lavishes it upon us. I love that. You know, our God is a giving God. He's not a God who takes. A God who says, you better bring me sacrifices. You better do this, or you better do that, or you better pay me this and that, and pay homage. He's a God who comes to us and gives. He's a giving God. I got some blessings I want to give you. And let's just list them a little bit. It says there that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in verse 3. With every spiritual blessing in Christ. There is nothing left to chance. You know, I've got all I need. I got 95% of everything that I need from God. Oh, no, you don't. You have 100%. He has given you every spiritual blessing. Well, what about, no, every spiritual blessing. Well, that's great. Every spiritual blessing. Not only are we blessed, but we're chosen. I love his language in this passage as he says, you were chosen before the foundations and the creation of the world. Okay, I wasn't here. I mean, I'm an old guy, but I wasn't here in creation of the world. You weren't either. But before the creation of the world, you were chosen. God chose you. No, I chose God. You know, I came to Christ when I was 9 years. No. God knew you way ahead of time. He chose you before that. He's been chasing you. You just simply gave in. He had already chosen you to be a part before the foundations of the world. How great is that, to be chosen? Narrow it down even further. He says you were predestined to be adopted. Adopted through Christ. To be a child of Christ. Wow. You are predestined to already be adopted by Him. I'm a sinner. I've rebelled against God. Yeah, I know. That's why you're adopted. You were predestined to be adopted. Because none of us are naturally children of God. We've rebelled. We've broken the tie. We have sin that has separated us. And we are in rebellion against God. Some people, it's quite a misunderstanding, but understandable. But misunderstanding that we say, well, everybody's a child of God. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says none of us are children of God, that we have to be adopted by Him, that we have to come back to Him, be redeemed to Him. We've broken that off. Everybody's created by God. Everybody's chosen by God. Everybody's loved by God. But only people who respond to God are children of God. You say, well, who's that? God picks and chooses? No, you're predestined to be adopted. Well, does that mean I'm in or out? Hey, you're in if you respond to Christ. As I said at the beginning, you can have peace today. You can have joy if you respond. So we're predestined to be adopted through Christ, and we're redeemed through His blood. Did you hear that? He's taking care of everything. But I'm so sinful, I don't know, you don't know what I've done, you don't know where I've been yet. You know what? It says right here, Paul says, don't worry about that. Well, I can't love Him with all my heart because I can't. I'm a terrible person. And just like in those movies where the couple's getting together and she says or he says, you know, I'm sorry, you don't know. There's things in my past you don't know. And we can't ever be together. And then it's a big breakup and it's all that. And God says, you know what? None of that matters. I'll take care of it. All your sins are forgiven. You've been redeemed by me. I've taken care of that. Redeemed. And then I love this final part of this section. This section right there, it's verse 14. He says, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. You know, Ziploc. You know, you can turn us upside down and shake it, and it doesn't fall out. No mold can get in, no things. You've been sealed through Christ. Paul is saying to the Ephesians, guys, you want to know how to get it? First, you got to get the mindset that you are taken care of. This is a God thing that is bigger than anything you got. You got to love this God. You can't read these verses. You can't look at these facts. You can't look at what God has testified through Paul in chapter 1 of Ephesians and say, God doesn't like me. Oh, yeah, He does. He loves you. Do you love Him? I love a God like that. Can you find one like that? There's only one, the creator of this universe. You want me to get more specific? His name is Jesus. So, what do we see here? The goal of knowing Christ. I love that when He says, you know, I'm praying that you, when I heard about you, I'm thankful for you, but I pray that you would know Jesus better. He gives thanksgiving for those who are saints. He gives continued prayer for them. He prays for wisdom and revelation. And then He prays the prayer in verse 18, and that's the theme of our time today. I pray also that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. Open the eyes of your heart. What do we need to know in our heart? Do you need to know how many books there are in the Bible? Do you need to know John 3:16 by heart? You miss a word, you're out. What do you need to open the eyes of your heart? What are we looking for? Paul gives us three things. He says, I pray that your eyes of your heart might be opened in order that you may know the hope to which He's called you. So number one, the hope of his calling. I mentioned earlier that we always have hope. You know, I don't know how people make it. I'm in a lot of funerals and a lot of hospital rooms. I'm with a lot of families that go through tragedies. I tell you what, without God, without hope, how do people make it? You know, the world is hurting. Not only in New Mexico, on the reservation, but in Washington, D.C. I was talking to a police officer just this week, right here in Fairfax County. And he's talking to me about suicides. Right here. Young people. No hope. The hope of his calling. The hope of his calling. That means it's not just hope in a God out there somewhere. It's hope in the fact that he has called me. It's specific. Not only the hope of his calling, but that you may know the riches of his inheritance. You know, you got everything you need. God says here, Paul says, if you open your eyes of your heart, you will see that he has given you everything of his inheritance. The riches of his inheritance, not the riches of your inheritance, not the riches what you got in your wallet. Thank goodness. It's not going to get me very far. How about you? But his inheritance. Well, what does God have? What is it? Cattle on a thousand hills, everything. And that you may know, that you may see this hope, and that you may know that the riches come from God, and you have the riches of his inheritance. And then number three, he says that you may know the greatness, the incomparability of his power, of the great power for us who believe. The greatness of his power. What can he do? What can God do? How big is your God? You say he's big, but most of us live like he's small. Some of us will even live like he's a little bit bigger than us. A friend, as the child song says, my God is so big, my God is so great. There's nothing that he cannot do. Do you believe that? Do you believe there's nothing that he cannot do? Do you think that he can't get you out of the problems that you have right now? Do you believe that he can't bring healing to your relationships that you're worried about right now? Do you believe that he can't? Because if you do, let me just open the eyes of your heart today and say, he can do it. He is able to do anything and to transform your life and bring hope into it. So, what's the common word here? The hope of his calling, the riches of his inheritance, the greatness of his power. Who's it about? You? No. It's about him. How do you open the eyes of your heart? How do you tune into the Lord? How do you get into it with all your heart? You start focusing on him and stop focusing on you. Many of us are going through this life focused on ourselves and our problems, and the next thing you know, whenever you turn inward, you just get small and things get dark fast. But when you look outward at Jesus Christ, there's a light. And all of a sudden, we see a God who loves us. We find out that it doesn't depend on me, and it doesn't depend on you. Everything that you need is given through Jesus. He finishes this chapter by saying, this is a pretty good thing about Jesus. He says, Jesus is awesome. He is the great. He has everything. He has all authority. He has all the power. There's no president, there's no king, there's no God, there is nothing that has more power or authority than the Lord Jesus Christ. God calls us to tune in. The beginning of putting feet to your prayers is to tune your heart in to a God who loves you, who is all-powerful and has all the authority over you. It's submitting to him and saying, Lord, I give it up to you. Is the honeymoon over? Wow, you've been coming to church for so long. You've been singing the songs. You've known Jesus. You've read the Bible. You can quote John 3:16. You can sing Amazing Grace. But you know what? It's just flat. Jesus says, fall in love with me all over again. Tune in your heart. Paul says, I'm going to pray for you that your heart would be, the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, and that you would once again experience the hope of his calling. The hope of his calling. The power, the strength, the greatness of who God is. And fall in love with them all over again. Are you in love with God today? Let's meet him face to face. I'm going to have you stand. And we're not going to sing. We're going to stand. We're not going to sing. I'm going to have praise team just play Amazing Grace. We're going to play Amazing Grace. My chains are gone. Amazing Grace, my chains are gone. You know the words. You've sung it a bunch of times. I don't want you to sing it, though, because you'll just click into neutral, you know? Amazing Grace, how sweet is that? You know, you just sing it. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think about the Lord today. I want you to tune in. My prayer is that in this moment, you might open the eyes of your heart just a little wider. Close your physical eyes and allow your heart to be open to what God has for you. Karen's going to start playing. Let's just bow our heads, close our eyes. What do you need to do today? Are you experiencing the peace that comes from the amazing grace of Jesus? Do you know him with your heart, or do you just know him in your head? You can tune in your heart today. Do it right now, right where you are. You don't have to make a public spectacle. You don't have to have special words. You don't have to say a prayer or sign a card. You just go to him and say, God, I love you. I just need you. I need you to heal me. And he will. Just tell him you've been going down the wrong road and you want to respond to him. Maybe today you need to just re-up. You need to say, Lord, I've grown callous and I just need to fall in love with you all over again. Today's the first step. Maybe you're looking for a church to join, something. You want to be a part of a group of believers who just want to love Jesus and take it outside these walls and tell others. We'd love to have you join. That we do ask that you come forward. You proclaim that you want to be with this church family. We will love you, pray for you, and support you. Now's the time.